the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've been reading Paul's appeal for unity in the church, how that Christians don't quit on each other and that we work out our disagreements and we put our opinions down and we pursue unity and love together. Paul is going to wrap that up today with a prayer for the church at Rome. This is just one verse we're going to look at today. It is a prayer for hope. And so I want us to read this text, and we will get to work together in God's Word. Let's look at the Scripture. Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you all, or fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Look at that again. What a scripture. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Hope is such a good word, isn't it? I mean, you just say the word hope and, you know, it's, you think about how that we do have hope in the Lord Jesus. Today I want to talk to you about the hope of the church. Before we get into the words itself of Paul's prayer, I want to start by looking at the context of Paul's prayer. All right, now I've been saying this for a couple weeks, and I want to drive this home. Because I want to help you when you're home and you've got your Bible and you're reading your Bible, I want to help teach you how to read that Bible correctly. Sometimes it's tempting to, you know, hear the positive, encouraging verse of the day on the radio, or, you know, you just open your Bible and it lands on a scripture and you read that one verse. It's so easy and so dangerous to just take that one verse, isolated from what the author was trying to say in that whole paragraph, and just take that one verse and kind of say, well, to me this means this. Christians, listen, if you're a disciple is a committed learner of Jesus Christ. And so if you are a disciple of Jesus, you need to read His Word and treat it right. Treat it rightly. So don't just take this prayer for hope and, you know, repeat it to yourself and say, well, maybe that'll boost me some hope every day. Let's look at the context. In what context did Paul pray for hope? Couple of quick things here. When we trace Paul's argument in this whole section, chapter 14 and chapter 15, here's part of the context for Paul's prayer for hope. First of all, he has moved from what Christians believe to how Christians live. This whole section is about action. It's practical. And so when Paul prays for hope, this hope is set in the context of doing something. You don't just want hope for, you know, for the sake of hope. Hope leads us to action. So that plays a role in our interpretation here. Secondly, this prayer for hope is in the context of a call for a local church to have unity. So what would that tell us? Paul is praying for hope for some Christians who are currently disagreeing. Why do they need hope? They need hope so that they can hang in there together and not quit on each other, but work out their differences together as a local church. See, it's easy to just throw words like hope around. You know, I need more hope in my life. But understand that Paul is praying for hope in the context of a local church of real people working out their problems. And as you and I have problems with other believers, we need hope in the Lord as we work those things out. We also see that Paul has been rallying the church around what's important. Guys, listen. Doesn't this just make sense? When we take our eyes off the gospel and the primary doctrines of the church, and when we get sidetracked and distracted and focused on little things, we lose our hope. Because in a local church, people can disagree over these little things. And if that's our focus, we're going to be hurt, or we're going to be, well, the church is never going to agree on anything. And you know what? It's okay for us to have differences of opinion on secondary issues. That's one thing Paul has been hitting really hard in this section. And so I want to encourage you to understand Paul to be drawing our attention to the glory of God, the gospel of Jesus. And as we focus on those big, important things, we'll have hope. That's what we're seeing here. And then finally, the immediate context is Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles come together as one church family. So they're being called to put down their ethnic differences, racial differences, and act together as one family. Because that is what we are. And so hope ties in to ethnic things as well. When we look at the division in our country, sometimes over, racial and ethnic things, it's easy to lose hope, isn't it? Know that Paul is calling us to hope and praying for hope in the church for a people who are putting racism and throwing it away as sin and rallying around Christ together as one family. And we're supposed to look different in the church. Amen? The church is supposed to be made up of people from different nationalities. So praise God, that is the context of Paul's prayer. Never forget, man, he's writing to real people with real issues. And we can apply this to us today with our issues as we look for hope. So that's the context of Paul's prayer. Jumping ahead there. Look at now the importance of the prayer. So before we break these words down, can I just state the obvious to you? Can I put before your attention, for your consideration, this truth? Hey, Paul prayed for the church. Before we break down his words of the prayer, you and I need to be reminded that Paul prayed for this church. We need prayer as the people of God. And in fact, this is Paul's second prayer in just a few verses. If you'll remember, if you got your Bible open there, look up at verses 5 and 6. Just a couple weeks ago, we saw Paul's prayer here. He says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul has prayed twice in just the space of a few verses. What does that say to you this morning about the importance of prayer for a local church? That should make an impression on us. The great apostle didn't say, "Hey, let me fix all your unity problems. I've got this, guys." No, Paul directed his attention not to his resources, but to the Lord. When there are problems in the church, it's time to pray for the church. When there are issues, we need to realize that it's not in our own strength that we can solve these. But when we come together as a church and pray for the church, God can fix things in a moment that we couldn't fix in years trying to work together and make it happen. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? We must pray. Christians are a people who pray. The church is a people of prayer. And so Paul, as he comes around these issues of unity, he's got prayer on his mind and his heart. This alone shows us the importance of prayer. Why are Christians a people who pray? Why do we pray? Prayer is not so that we can feel holy. "I prayed for an hour today, did you?" That's nothing to do with it. That's abuse of prayer. Can I throw out a couple reasons why we pray? Christians pray because we know we need God. We pray because we know we need God. To not pray is a form of pride. Listen, when we are prayerless in our lives, and we all get that way in different seasons, what are we saying? We're saying, "I don't need God right now. I don't have time to pray. I better work this out myself." Right? That's dumb. That's false. We need God. And so when we humble ourselves and pray, we're making a statement: "I need you, God." Christians are not people who think they've got it all together, right? Hey, the church, by description in the Bible, almost by definition, right? The church is people who need God's grace. And we know it. I mean, you can't even join the church without admitting that you're a sinner and repenting. Christians should be the most humble people in the world. Pride is a great sin for us. And so we know we need God, and that's why we pray. Let me throw out another reason why Christians pray. Because prayer is about a relationship with God. When we're praying consistently, what are we saying about God? We're saying, I love you, God, and I want to spend time with you. Amen? We're saying, Lord, I want to hear from you in prayer, and I want to pour out my heart at your feet. Prayer is where our relationship with God takes place. It's where it's strengthened. It's where it's forged. You learn God as you read His scriptures and pray. You get to know Him. And so as Paul is praying this morning for hope, understand the importance of prayer. Specifically, what is Paul praying for here? He's praying for a church to have hope. Are you praying for your church? If the Apostle Paul prayed for the Roman church, shouldn't we be praying for our church? I want to encourage you, commit to daily prayer for our church. If you're watching online and you have a different church home, commit to praying for your church family. Amen. So we've seen the context of the prayer. We're already learning a lot here, and we haven't even looked at Paul's words yet. The context of his prayer and the situation going on at Rome. We've looked at the importance. We've looked at the importance of prayer, that the church needs prayer, admitting our need. But let's look for a second at the focus of Paul's prayer. What is this prayer about? It's about hope. This is a prayer about hope. Paul uses the word hope twice in this prayer, and it's just one verse long. The bells go off. Okay, this is an important word. In fact, he had just said the word hope in the previous verse. Look at verse 12. He's quoting from Isaiah, and he says that in Jesus, the Gentiles are going to hope. And so when Paul talks about the Gentiles and the Jews both hoping in Jesus, it kind of triggers his brain here. I need to pray for hope in the church. Way up in verse 4, Paul had also mentioned the word hope. He said that through the encouragement of the Scriptures and enduring together, we might have hope. Listen, hope is a major theme in the book of Romans. Hope is a major theme. The word hope shows up in Romans around 16 times. How many chapters are in Romans? 16. So at least it's like once a chapter, you know, Paul is talking about hope. He keeps coming back to it. What is hope? What is hope? Well, let me tell you this. The world defines hope differently than the Bible does. How do people use the word hope just out in the world, not in a Christian context? We use it as a weak thing, almost like a wish. Like, I hope it's sunny tomorrow. I hope we're having pizza for dinner. It's just this thrown out wish that may or may not happen. Do you know that the Bible doesn't use hope in that way? You start digging, you look at how the Bible uses the word hope, we see that the word hope is defined this way. Goodness. There we go. Yeah, looking forward in confident expectation. Looking forward. Hope has to do with the future. You don't hope for something that's already happened, right? Hope involves the future, but in the Scriptures, hope involves a confidence that's based on God's reliability, God's trustworthiness, God's faithfulness. So as I think about the future, if I'm a Christian, I have a confidence. In other words, hope is closely related to faith. Faith and hope go together. along with love, right? But faith and hope are kind of connected. We as Christians, when we think about the future, we can have confidence because of the Lord. And so it's easy to see here why Paul is praying for hope in the church. Let me just talk to you a second, guys. It is so easy for us to lose hope. Isn't it? It is so easy for us to lose hope. We live in a broken world. Look, just being real with you here. We live in a broken world. God made it. God created everything, and it was good. God didn't make this a broken world full of sin. God created the world, and He saw that it was very good. And then what happened? You and I. This is not God's fault. This is mankind's fault. Adam and Eve, our first grandpa and grandma, disregarded the command of God and sinned against Him. And sin broke into this world along with death, its consequence. It is easy to lose hope because when we look around, we see brokenness. Things don't work the way they're supposed to work. Is that your experience? I mean, we've got people employed here in our church whose jobs it is to fix stuff. Why? Because we live in a broken world. We have people employed in our church in the medical field. Why? Because we're broken and we're dying. I mean, this is our reality, isn't it? And so it's easy for us to lose hope. Man, we were having band practice this morning, and every cable up here was buzzing and going out, and we were having to replace stuff and running around like a chicken with his head cut off, you know, trying to get through this stuff. And it's brokenness. Things don't work the way they're supposed to. Not only that, but people let us down. People we trust often break that trust. And so we just quit hoping a lot of times. Everything lets us down. Now, yeah, there's beauty in this world, but we sense that it's not quite the way it's supposed to be. Sickness and disease, corruption and decay, sin and injustice, suffering and death. What we want to happen doesn't happen. I'm hoping for this thing to happen, and it doesn't happen. I prayed for this to happen, and it didn't happen. And what do? We lose hope. And that is a tragedy because we need hope. You guys know the saying, you know, you can live 3 days without water or, you know, however long without food, but you can't live for very long at all without hope. And so, even in the church, all right, we come. Let's break this down. The world is broken, but then we come into the church, and the church ought to know better. But then someone in the church will hurt us, and that stings even worse than sinners. The world hurting us, because when our family lets us down, we feel it, and so a lot of people lose hope even in the church. Brothers and sisters will let us down. Our pastors and leaders will fail to live up to our expectations. It's so easy to lose hope and give up. Listen to me this morning. That is why Paul is praying for this local church at Rome to have hope. They are in the middle of some arguments over Jew-Gentile stuff, and Paul doesn't want them to just lose hope and walk away. We'll just split Jew church and a Gentile church across the street. Or in our day, a black church and a white church, a rich church and a poor church, or this kind of church and that kind of church. And what Paul is calling us to, especially in a local church body, is to be filled with hope so that we can endure and build this thing together. All right? So having said all of that, let's look at Paul's wording in this prayer. And we're going to learn about hope. Again, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. There's five things we learn about hope in Paul's prayer quickly this morning. The first is this. Hope comes from God the Father. Look at how Paul starts his prayer. May the God of hope fill you. Look at that. May the God of hope fill you. As is Paul's custom, he's teaching us to be God-centered in our prayers. Prayer is not just about us. Our Christian songs are not to be focused on us. Our worship is about God. Our prayers are to God. We pray to God, about God, in the presence of God. Prayer is God-centered. And when we come to prayer, we're not just trying to have the power of positive thinking, right? We're not just wanting to listen to a motivational speaker or give ourselves a pep talk. Prayer is talking with God. And we are asking humbly when we pray that God would grant us what we need. Amen? Jesus taught us this. When we pray, say what? Our Father in heaven. You see, Jesus wants us to understand when we pray that we are coming to a Father together. Our Father in heaven. He's able to meet our need. He's not bound to this earth. He's in heaven. The place of rule and reign and authority. And so Paul, when he wants us to have hope in the church, he doesn't just give us a pep talk. Hey, Christians, grit your teeth and conjure up some hope. Are you guys good at that? Conjuring up hope? You might, you know, succeed a little bit, but it's not going to be what you need. But aren't you glad that we can have hope because we serve the God of hope? Paul is saying that God is the source of our hope. Amen? What God has, He can give to us. Hope is something that must be granted to us. Hope is a gift of God for His church. What's the second thing we learn from this prayer about hope? Not only does hope come from God the Father, may the God of hope fill you, but hope comes through faith in Jesus. Look what Paul says. May the God of hope fill you with what? All joy and peace in believing. Believing. Believing what? I'm praying for hope. Paul's praying for hope. And he doesn't just say, hey God, would you please give them hope? Look at the wording. May the God of hope. And you already have hope when you hear Paul say that. Ah, He's the God of hope. He's my source. I got this. Amen. He hadn't even finished the prayer and it's already answered, right? May the God of hope. Boom. When we lift our eyes up and focus on God, we get hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Hope comes to us as we believe. Do you see that? Hope, the receiving of hope comes to us. It's related to faith. But again, the question, believe what, Paul? What does Paul want us to believe in to get hope? How would the world answer that question today? Who does the world tell us to believe in? I mean, I work this into almost every sermon, right? It even bleeds into Christian music. There's Christian songs out there that call us to believe in ourselves. And listen to me, that sounds really good, but it's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. Nowhere. In fact, there are a few pages in there that tell us not to believe in ourselves. When we come before God, we're not trying to see eye to eye with Him as His equal, guys. We're crawling before His throne on our knees in humility, to glorify Him. And so as we come looking for prayer, Paul wants us to understand prayer comes to us through faith, through believing. Believing in what, Paul? Listen, he doesn't have to tell us in this verse. The whole book of Romans is about believing something. Now, I've preached to you guys how many sermons in Romans? Today is the 92nd sermon. I think we may hit 100 as we finish off. So I have labored for 100 weeks almost to set the message of Romans before our eyes. What is the gist of this message? What you boil down the book of Romans, what's it about? We're not justified before God by our works of the law, but we are justified by faith. So listen, at the end of the letter, when Paul says believing, he doesn't have to quote the earlier 15 chapters. As you've read through, you know what Paul's talking about believing. The whole context of this prayer is set in the book of Romans, which calls us to believe the gospel, Jesus Christ. So listen, if you need hope, that's not isolated from the church. It's not isolated from faith in Jesus. God is not just about in the business of giving hope to individuals scattered out here who may or may not trust Him. Hope comes to the church and it comes through the gospel. It comes from God, the God of hope. And it comes to us through believing. Are you hearing me this morning? Hope will come to us as we believe the gospel. This word believing is all over the book of Romans. I think I wrote down 19 times in the book of Romans, referring to faith in God and Christ. 19 times Paul uses the word believing, and that doesn't count the 40 times he uses the word faith, which means the same thing. So we've got, you know, almost 60 references to the word faith and believing, and it's all about believing the gospel of Jesus. Paul uses the word believing in these monumental verses like this. Can I just read a couple of them to you? These verses that show us what Paul means. Who are we supposed to believe, Paul? Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." So when we want hope from God, it comes through believing. What? The gospel. Or Romans 3:22, it says, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." Or, listen to the clarity of this one, Romans 10:9. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." So when Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing," there's no question in anybody's mind who has followed Paul's train of thought that he's talking about believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. How that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and was buried and rose from the grave. Hope comes from God the Father. And it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, go ahead, Paul, and just finish out the Trinity in your prayer. He's like, okay, I will. The next one we see, hope comes by the Holy Spirit. Do you see how Trinity-focused Paul's prayer is? He's praying that hope comes from God the Father through faith in Jesus, but it's delivered to us how? By whom? How do we get our hope? Who gives it to us in the church? The Holy Spirit. Look back at the prayer. May the God of hope, the Father, fill you with all joy and peace in believing in God the Son, so that by the power of God the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The Holy Spirit is involved in giving us hope. I didn't mention, I forgot to talk about faith or about joy and peace here, but may God fill us with joy and peace in believing. Where do you get your joy and peace, church? In believing. Some Christians say, "I just don't have any joy. I just don't experience peace." These things happen with a focus on Jesus Christ and the gospel. Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Are you distracted? Come to the gospel of Jesus. We have joy when we see that our sins are forgiven. Yeah? We have joy when we see that our names are written in heaven. We have joy when we see that Jesus took our condemnation and there's no condemnation left for me. Hallelujah! Because Jesus paid it all. Amen? Joy comes when our lives are rooted in God and we know that we're living for Him in His glory. Same with peace. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit. As we believe Christ and submit to God, the Holy Spirit is at work in us, the Trinity. God the Father is granting these things through Jesus, who accomplished it at the cross. But how do I get it? The work of the Holy Spirit within. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Listen, after Jesus died on the cross and went back to heaven to the Father, He poured out the Holy Spirit on His church. Do you believe that? Acts chapter 2. The church received the Holy Spirit. And He's been in and with the church ever since. Why did we get to baptize this morning? Because the Holy Spirit is at work among us. Paul is praying for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in a local church. Shouldn't we? Me and Corey think so. Paul is praying for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit active in a local church. Quick question. How often do you pray for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our church body? I want to challenge you not just to prayer, but follow Paul's example of prayer for the local church, that the Holy Spirit would be involved. I praise God for Miss Kathy, who is almost every week she tells me, I am praying for you that the Holy Spirit will give you boldness when you preach. Man, that gives me hope just to hear her tell me that. Here's this precious saint praying for me. And I wouldn't turn down the rest of you praying for me either. And not just for me, but for all of the members of our church, all of the Christians in this city. May God give us the Spirit. May the Holy Spirit be at work among us. Amen? Paul is praying that the church would receive hope by the Holy Spirit. A couple more and we're... So hope comes from God the Father. Hope comes through faith in Jesus. Hope comes by the Holy Spirit. But there are a couple of important words in this prayer that a lot of people miss. And it tells us that hope comes to the local church. I want you to notice the word you. Pronoun, you. Paul uses it twice in this verse. Y-O-U. Simple little word. Why is that word important? Well, in the English translation, it doesn't tell us a whole lot. But in the Greek, listen to me. This pronoun you in the Greek is plural, not singular. Both times Paul says that I'm praying, you know, that may God fill you, he's not using the English word you, he's using the Greek word. If he was in the South, he would say what? Y'all. Or maybe, you know, use guys up a little northerner. Here. May the God of hope fill y'all. It's important to know that. Why? Why is this important? Why is the preacher taking a minute here to point out that that's plural and not singular? Because we are tempted, selfish sinners as we are, to just think of ourselves. And we say, you know what? I need a little more hope in my life. And we try to figure out how can I be hopeful? And it's not about you and me. It's about us. God is not just saving a bunch of individuals, brothers and sisters. He's saving a church who are one in Christ. Paul is writing not just to you. He's writing to the Roman church. And therefore, to all the churches, Paul is asking, may the God of hope fill you guys. You Roman Christians, Jews and Gentiles, all of y'all, may the God of hope fill you all with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you all may abound in hope. You guys may all abound in hope together. Words are important. This word shows us that God wants to fill the church with hope as we live out our faith together. Amen? Do you see it? Hope is a corporate experience. Hope is the experience of the church. If you're not involved in your church, how are you going to abound in hope? Hope comes from God the Father through believing Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit. To whom? Us. Plural. As you give yourself to your church family, as you and I commit to each other to work out our disagreements and to pursue unity around the gospel together and to live out the faith so our community can see it, God will work in our midst by the Holy Spirit to make us abound with hope. Do you see that? You will be filled with hope as you unite with the church who is being filled with hope. It's a corporate thing. And then the last thing we see this morning, and this one just comes from the context. Hope comes for our united ministry. Why does God give us hope? Hope for what? Just so that we'll feel better? I mean, God's nice and yeah, He wants us to feel better, maybe. Hope for the mission. Hope for the work together. Again, what is the context? What's Paul been preaching about? Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians coming together in one place, uniting together as one church family to live out the gospel mission in their city. Paul wants them to have hope to energize their mission, hope to strengthen their pursuit of unity. We don't just get hope for the sake of hope itself. God wants the church at Meadow Lake to abound in hope so that we can have hope as we live out the gospel together. Amen? Our hope has a purpose. Hope fuels our mission. Hope fuels our endurance to set aside our opinions and our personal freedoms and to humble ourselves and work together as one. Hope has a united gospel purpose. And that's Paul's prayer this morning. We've broken it down. I want us to think about this. How do we apply this? Let's pray about this as we come to the end of this time in God's Word. Here's what I want you to know this morning. Are you listening? In Christ, we together, plural, are the people of hope in our city. We together are people of hope because of Christ. Let me say it this way. The church of Jesus Christ is an oasis of hope in this broken world we were talking about a minute ago. This world, our community, it's falling apart. Watch the news, right? 2020, who saw it coming, right? It's crazy everywhere you look. I mean, politics, ethnic relations, even the weather this week, two hurricanes at once. Everywhere you look, the world is crazy. But the church of Jesus Christ is like an oasis of hope in a hopeless world. Why? Because we're better? No, because Christ is in the church, working in us by the Holy Spirit. We are to be a people of hope. And our hope is, we get it from the God of hope as we believe Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives the church this hope to work together. Our hope in heaven is secure. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you can look to the future with confident expectation because God doesn't break His promises. We are looking for a new heavens and a new earth that are not broken. We are promised from God new glorified bodies that will not be broken. So when we talk about having hope, guys, we've got some big reasons for hope. Imagine that day. A beautified, perfect earth with the city, New Jerusalem, coming down, God dwelling with us, being transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, new bodies that don't get sick, no sin nature. Just being able to, no temptation, no sin, no failings, only perfection in the presence of God and glorifying Jesus forever and ever. This is our future hope. I want you this morning, if you came here feeling hopeless, I want you to look to the cross and see that Jesus died for you in your brokenness. Jesus died for you in your rebellion against God. He created you to live for His glory, but you spit in His face just like I did. From birth, we live for ourselves, and we deserve God's wrath. But God chose to put His wrath on His Son, Jesus Christ, at the cross, instead of putting it on you and I forever in hell. That's the best news you've heard today, amen? Christ stood in your place and bore your shame and your sin and took your condemnation from God. He died. He rose again. And He's coming back to make all things new. We are the people of hope in a hopeless world. And so, as we seek to apply this, I want us to pray like Paul, that God would make His people abound with hope. Here in a moment, I'm going to lead us in prayer. If you've been feeling hopeless lately, first of all, you might need to take a little break from blogs and, you know, social media. That might help. But the answer is to look to Christ. Look to the gospel and remind yourself this morning why you can abound in hope. Amen? Don't go out in this world and say, woe is me, just like everybody else who don't believe the gospel. Do you hear me? God has stationed you as a missionary wherever you work and live. God has planted you to be light in the darkness. And on your block, you've got neighbors who are hopeless. You, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can be a lighthouse of hope on your block. Amen? May God fill this church with hope that we could be a lighthouse in our community. And may we see the importance of prayer and commit ourselves to pray for one another, that the God of hope would fill us with all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might abound in hope. Let's pray together.